Mars. If you don't call advance, you're lending him applause. If you don't call out Johnson, you're part of the scheme. If you don't call out the GOP, you're feeding the machine. If you don't speak, you're with them. If you stay quiet, you defend them. Silence is consent, silence is sin. If you don't rise, you're letting them win. If you don't denounce the theft, you are the thief. If you don't denounce the cruelty, share the grief. Oh, if you don't denounce corruption, you're complicit too. The lies on Fox and on the floor. If you don't stand for the truth, you open the door for every cheat, every con, every vote they betray. If you don't rise and resist, you're helping them stay. Why you defend them? Silence is consent, silence is sin. If you don't rise, you're letting them win. History won't forgive those who stood aside while the halls of power filled with greed and pride. Raise your voice, raise your hand, don't let them hide. The truth is our weapon, the people are God. If you don't denounce the assault on the rules, if you don't call out the liars, the cheats, the fools, if you don't take a stand in the face of the crime, then you're dancing in rhythm with the grind. If you don't speak, you're with them. If you stay quiet, you defend them. Silence is consent, silence is sin. If you don't rise, you're letting them win. If you don't speak, you're with one of them.
Portland Calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty is engineering for me. I want to say hello to Gary and Darla in Nebraska, Kathy in Aloha, Mitty and her grandchildren, who are great people, and Jim, my buddy, out in Gresham. This radio station is community radio, and we need all the help with what the craziness is going on in this country is causing around the world, you know. This radio station keeps everybody informed. We play great music and have great programming on this radio station. We're over 50 years old. If you go to KBOO 90.7 FM and you can go up to where it says donate, you can donate there to keep us on the air, or you can do like I do. I send a check to KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. And I always send money, and so do all my friends. They send money. There was some good news that happened, and Dick Cheney died. He was the architect of the attack on Iraq and the multiple deaths that caused for the people in Iraq. He was such a horrible person. The black sites where they tortured people. He did such a terrifying thing to people around the world, and he got away with it. But you know, he finally passed away, and that's a good thing, you know. The other person that, when he died, I didn't I was kind of happy was, what's his name? I forgot his name. But, you know, they said that when they attacked Iraq, that the people would meet him with roses and chocolates. You know, they would be looked at as liberators. You know, it was a preemptive strike because they said that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction, which wasn't true, and they knew it wasn't true. What does Iraq have that they wanted? Oil. Oil. That's all they wanted, oil. And they slaughtered a lot of innocent people for that oil. So I'm not shedding a tear for Dick Cheney. The other one, the other guy I was thinking of was Henry Kissinger, the cause of the war in Vietnam. And I've got a lot of good stuff on Vietnam today. Another thing that I've been really following, and that's this horrible bloodbath that's happening in Sudan. It's just such a bloody, bloody fight between the Sudanese armed forces and a rapid support forces. And it's war crimes. That's all it is. It's just war crimes there. You know, I don't think these numbers are high enough, but supposedly there's 150,000 dead. I'm pretty sure there's a lot more. And 12 million people have been displaced. A famine, people are starving. And one thing that, you know, is so disgusting, and it happens in all wars, and that is armies use rape as a weapon. And that's happening to the women in Sudan. And that is a war crime. They need food, they need water, they need medical care, they need the war to stop. But these two groups are just horrible, horrible. Like I said last time we talked, that my friend, she had been to the West Bank, and I've been following around reading about what happened, you know, what's been going on in the West Bank, which didn't get a lot of news because of the slaughter that was going, the Israeli Zionist slaughter of the Palestinian people in Gaza. But the West Bank, the Zionist settlers have really cut loose and gone after the people of the West Bank. They're burning their homes. They're chasing people out of their homes. They're burning crops. They're killing animals like their sheep. And they get support by the IDF, the Israeli military. They get no help. They're killing young children. They're killing people who stand up, and the whole world just looks away. The United States, which gives ammo and bombs and whatever else Israel needs without question, are being used against the people of the West Bank, the Palestinians on the West Bank. I read one of the refugee camps in the West Bank was cleared out of people and destroyed, and there's the settlers, these horrible settlers, are starting to make their homes again in those areas. They want to take over that whole area. They want to take over Palestine. They're not letting in Gaza, which supposedly had a peace treaty, a peace deal. But I guess that only goes for the Palestinians, not for the Israelis, the IDF, who are killing people almost daily there. They've moved a yellow line, which was supposed to be where they wouldn't go past the yellow line, which is still in Palestine, in Gaza. And the U.S. is new, and the United Nations are doing nothing to stop the Israelis from killing the Palestinians. You have so many young children have been killed and starved to death, just like in Sudan. The Israelis are not letting in the medicine they need, not letting in the food they need, not letting in the fuel they need, the supplies they need. That's quite a peace deal, isn't it? We have to stand up. We have to make this government toe the line. But this guy doesn't care. This president doesn't care. The people around him doesn't care at all. Witkoff was supposedly helped make this deal. He only looked at what Israel wanted, not what the Palestinians needed. There's still people in this country, especially here in Portland, that are still protesting about what's happening to the people of Palestine. On Friday at noon at Pioneer Courthouse Square, and also on Sundays at Southeast 12th, and I can't remember what the other street is. People are still protesting. We couldn't write letters all we want. Trump doesn't care at all. He doesn't care at all. That's for sure. But we have to keep fighting. We have to keep talking about it. You know, the people, more people like my friend who went to the West Bank, she was really brave to do that. Really brave. But we have Senator Merkel, and he's definitely on our side. Ron Wyden, not so much, but some. But Merkel, he's the one. He's really, really on our side on this. I got a text from my brother a couple weeks ago, or a week ago or so. And I've been going down to the, I just hit the microphone, I'm sorry. I've been going down to the ICE prison building down in Southeast Portland and being a part of that. I have met some really wonderful people down there, people who are very committed to helping our sisters and brothers who are getting kidnapped off the street by these ICE people. They're down there 24 hours a day. They confront ICE every time they come out of their little compound prison. Someone's always there, you know, to tell them how horrible they are. They're very, very brave people to make this stand, you know, to take a stand against, you know, the fascism that's going on right now. The breaking of the Constitution, they don't care. Those people in charge of ICE, they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care. So, but these folks are down there every day, every night, you know, making a stand. Last weekend, I think it was called Patriots Weekend, where a bunch of these MAGA freaks came into Portland. And, of course, it went right down to the Southeast Portland. And there was a lot of confrontations, a lot of no physical. I didn't see any physical things going on. Just a lot of arguing and debating. And I heard nothing good out of the mouths of these MAGA people at all. It seems like all they want to do is get people into an argument so they can put it on their podcast or whatever they have and make money on it. That's all they're doing. That's all they're doing. I saw these young kids, you know, just standing up to these MAGA freaks. Just, you know, saying the truth, telling the truth about what's going on. And usually all of this takes place, you know, late in the evening. I would guess there was close to 100, I'm guessing, of the MAGA freaks there the two nights that I was there. And one thing that these MAGA people just... I wear my Vietnam veteran baseball cap down there. And all the people that are down there a lot, they know who I am, and they're really cool, you know, and they kind of protect me sometimes when things aren't going too good, but what really makes me angry is when these MAGA freaks say thank you for your service, and I always say don't thank me for what I did in Vietnam. You know, I suffer every day for what I did in Vietnam. And don't tell me thank you for my service. And then I tell them how many people have, how many Americans died in Vietnam, how many Vietnamese, Laotians, and Cambodians died in during the war. I tell them there's still around 1,500 missing in action in Vietnam, and two of them are guys that I knew. You know, just you know, they have no idea what they're talking about when they say thank you for your service at all. But I can tell the difference of people who mean it differently than these MAGA freaks. These MAGA freaks. I don't put up with that, you know. I was looking. I know, you know, how many of us died. And I know how many of us died the time I was in Vietnam. 17,000 of us died in 68. And, how many POWs? How many MIAs still missing in action? It's MIA BNR, which is missing in action, body not recovered. But I also know suicides. You know, after the war, you know, how many Vietnam veterans commit suicide? And it's a lot. Then I wondered how many guys in Vietnam during the war committed suicide. They really didn't have an exact number, but it was what they wrote down. What they wrote down is pretty high. And I didn't know anybody that committed suicide in Vietnam, but my buddy Mike, who's been on this show with me, who I have something I want to read that he put in Vietnam Veterans Against the War newspaper called The Veteran. He wrote something in there. It's very interesting. But Mike knew somebody since he was a medic, so he knew guys that killed themselves in Vietnam. And the war doesn't end just because the bullets stop. That's for darn sure. That is for darn sure. I'm going to go back, circle back here. And my brother sent me this text message about ICE wanting to put a detention center in Newport, and how horrible the people of Newport, they wanted to put it out by the airport, and out by the airport, the Coast Guard had a helicopter that they use for when fishing boats get in trouble. They have this helicopter that, you know, goes out and helps these people or helps anybody that's having trouble out there. And they moved it from Newport to North Bend, which takes them a while to, if something happens, it takes them a while to get from North Bend up to Newport. And the city council and everybody wanted to know, you know, why did they move it? And they found out that ICE wanted to put a detention center there. And my brother said that a lot of people are very angry about it. And I listened to, on the internet, I listened to one of their city hall, the meeting about this. And the people on the city council, the mayor, and the people citizens who came and talked about it, nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted that detention center in Newport. If you've ever been to Newport, it's a nice place, you know. It's really a nice place. But I guess that the people who wanted to rent the area and put at the airport area and put up the detention center backed out. So far, no ICE detention center in Newport, but we still have that one here in Portland. They're supposed to be moving out the National Guard, Mayor Kotek said, but I think they only moved out half of the, it changes every day about who and where, you know, so. But some of them, from what I heard, have left. They all should leave. There's no reason for them to be here in Portland at all. I was listening to in Chicago about the ICE and the violence that the ICE here in Portland are just violent too against people that they pick up. You know, they kidnap off the streets, break the windows of their cars and everything, and lie and cheat and to get people. They're violent. Even down at the ICE building, they're violent down there. Like I said, you know, they knocked me down. I'm 77. Before me, there was an 80-year-old veteran that got knocked down. So they're violent. They're violent. For sure. But in Chicago, a group of people were following these ICE vans around, and one of the ICE guys, I don't know, got out of his van and shot and wounded this woman, and I think maybe the guy that was in the car, I'm not sure, he said that that she rammed their car. So before, you know, they arrested her, and I think the guy that was with her, I'm not sure, but he left and went back to Maine, and they tried to fix his van and everything. But today I heard that they dropped all charges against her, but come to find out that the ICE driver guy, the shooter, rammed her car. So they dropped the charges against her. But, you know, they pull their guns on people all the time. all the time. Not on the, you know, on the people they kidnap, but also on civilians that are watching them, you know, documenting everything that they do. They pull their guns on them. So we have to really keep an eye on the militarization of these ICE people. Because if you ever go down there, if you haven't gone down there, you should go down to the ICE prison down on Southeast Portland and look at these people. They're in camouflage. They have gas masks. They have shields over their faces. They have steel helmets, you know, and they carry guns. And they look just like, you know, like they're going into combat. To them, they are, you know. We're the enemy. To them, we're the enemy. And we're not the enemy. You know, they're breaking the rules. So that's a real problem, too. I want to talk about something else. Ty, you want to go ahead and play the other song, and I'm going to get something up here that I want to talk about in just a little bit.
There's a storm out on the edges. You can feel it in the rain. The price of bread keeps climbing, and the workers bear the strain. You can hear it in the murmurs rolling through the quiet towns. Something old is cracking, something new is coming round. The tide is turning, the night is near done. You can't fool the sunrise, it still comes. They can steal, they can lie, they can try to divide, but the people remember the tide's gonna rise. There are boots out in the alleys, cloaked in names of law, and those who sell their honor still pretend they're standing tall. But justice has a long reach, truth a longer spine. They'll face the light they ran from when their lies unwind. The tide is turning, the night is near done. You can't fool the sunrise, it still comes. They can scheme, they can hide, they can twist what's right, but the people remember, and the truth brings light. Don't count this country down or out. There's fight left in the weary. There's grace beneath the doubt. We've been bruised, we've been burned, but we still know how to shout. We were built to turn the tables. Don't count us out. Now the bells are in the distance, ringing low but clear, calling every soul that's ever lost to gather here. From the dust and from the ashes, from the silence and the pain, we will raise a song together and begin again. The tide is turning, hear that sound, from the fields and the cities and the ghosted towns. Every hand, every heart, every wrong denied, they'll all be swept clean in the turning tide. Hold on, my friend, the tide is coming in.
That was a great song. On the news, I think it was six senators were telling the military, you know, to not follow illegal orders, commands. And Donald Trump, a Vietnam draft dodger, said that they should be hung. And what they said is correct. What they said is correct. You know, Donald Trump got 4 deferments for college. You know, I've told you this many times that I don't have a problem with guys who didn't go to Vietnam. What I have a problem with is with guys that didn't go to Vietnam when they had a chance, but are in now positions to send other people to a war. Donald Trump got those 4 deferments for college. And then when he finished college in July of 1968, he was 1A, which means he's fit for the draft to go into the military to do whatever the military wants him to do. Physically fit to go into the military. And then a few months later, I can't remember what month, he comes up with a letter from his doctor saying that he has heel spurs. So he's reclassified. I think he was 4F after that, you know, which means they're not going to get him. But I'm so sorry, you guys. He got the deferments, but they didn't show any medical things that showed that he had heel spurs. I think he said that he didn't know the doctor that wrote the letter, but the doctor's daughter said that it was a doctor that was that had an office in Trump's dad's building, and he did it as a favor to the father. But Donald Trump, all through college, he was an athlete. He was an athlete. He played all these sports and everything. If you have heel spurs, like suppose that he had, you can't, you know, that would be too painful for him. So he's a big fat liar. That's what he is. A big fat liar. Also, did this interview on I can't remember whose show it was. It's some talk show. And they asked him about military service, and he says, I would have joined the military, but not during Vietnam, because I didn't support that war. I didn't support that war. And then he said he fought his war so he wouldn't get an STD. That was his war he was fighting, his Vietnam war he was fighting. So you wouldn't get an STD. You know, that's a slap in the face of every veteran by Trump. Every veteran that Trump just slapped them in the face. And then there's veterans that still support this freak, that support this. I'm going to get back to the to the senators that said to the military folks not to obey illegal orders. And That's part of the UCMJ Uniform Code of Military Justice, which military personnel are under. They're not under the Constitution, but they're under the UCMJ. And they have all these articles about what you can't do, what you can't do, what you can't do. And very few of, you can do this, you know. But the article is Article 92 about obeying orders. And service members must obey lawful orders. Failure to obey a lawful order can lead to serious punishment, including court-martial. But there is a key qualifier. The order must be lawful. If an order is... If the order is illegal, service members not only may refuse it, they have a duty to do so. Obeying an illegal order can expose a service member to criminal liability. When is an order illegal? Not every questionable order counts. Courts have held that for an order to be illegal, its unlawfulness must be clear and obvious. Classic examples include orders to target civilians, orders to falsify official documents, orders to commit crimes such as theft or assault. So if somebody wants to go look that up, you know, they can go to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, Article 92. So like I said, there's all these under the UCMJ, Code of Military Justice. There is so much. You know, they just got you. They got you. But there are things in there that like this one, you know, it is a responsibility to not obey. And I would say that being a part of doing police duty is illegal order. To helping ICE is a legal order. Going after our sisters and brother Hispanics, that is an illegal order. So, but I don't remember. You know, we got all this. When I was in the service, they had all this. It happened. So, you know, they gave you all this stuff real fast. Real fast. You really didn't understand it. And then they gave us the rules of war really fast. So you just really didn't know what they were talking about. But. As you know, that the war was illegal and unjust, and a lot of people died for an illegal war. I'm trying to find what I want to talk about right now. I know it's in here somewhere. Hold on. Boy, me and this computers are not the best of friends. That's for sure. When I was down at the ICE one night, this guy comes quite often, and he brings these two big speakers and plays music, and he plays all kinds of really cool things. And he hollers at the Department of Homeland Security and the border people, guards, and all these people who you don't know who they are. In these uniforms. But last weekend, he did something that was really interesting. He said, what was the name of the young girl who was anti-Nazi and was killed by the Nazis? And some people thought it was Anne Frank, but that wasn't who he was thinking about. And so people started looking it up, and it was the White Rose Society in Germany, I think in around 1941, I think they started. And the White Rose Society were students, were five students and one professor. They were nonviolent intellectual resistance to the Nazis. Five students and one professor, University of Munich, Willy Graf, Kurt Huber, Christoph Probst, Alexander Schmornell, Hans Scholl, and Sophie Scholl. And the young girl was Sophie Scholl. And the group conducted all these anonymous leaflets and graffiti campaign that called for active opposition to the Nazi regime. Their activities started in Munich in June of 1942. They ended with the arrest of the core group by the Gestapo on February of 1943. They, as well as other members and supporters of the group, were carried on distributing the pamphlets, faced show trials by the Nazis People Court. Many of them were imprisoned and executed. But these are young people, and they made a stand against that. And what's interesting about the people in this group, some of them had been in the military. Some of these guys had been in the military, and one of them were on the Eastern Front, you know, like in Russia or whatever, and they came back and said, "Well, this is wrong, you know." They're killing a lot of civilians, and they're just wiping things out. And this is just not wrong. That these Nazis are just, you know, something that needs to be dealt with. And so they started the White Rose Society. Hans Scholl and Sophie Scholl, as well as Christoph Probst, were executed by guillotine for what they did. They were executed by guillotine 4 days after their arrest in February of 1943. During the trial, Sophie interrupted the judge multiple times. No defendants were given any opportunity to speak. But she interrupted. She wanted to speak. The group wrote and printed and initially distributed their pamphlets in the Greater Munich region. Later on, secret carriers brought copies to other cities, mostly in the southern part of Germany. In July of 1943, Allied planes dropped their sixth and final leaflets over Germany with the headline Manifesto of the Students of Munich. In total, the White Rose authored six leaflets, which were multiplied and spread in a total of 15,000 copies. They denounced the Nazi regime's crimes and oppression and called for resistance in the second leaflet. They denounced the persecution and mass murder of Jews. By the time of their arrest, members of the White Rose were just about to establish contact with one other resistance group. Today, the White Rose is well known both within Germany and outside of Germany. It's, you know, when I think of the White Rose Society, I think of all these young people in this country, and especially in the state of Oregon, that are standing up and confronting this regime, this in the White House right now, who aren't afraid to make a stand and to talk back. Some of them down at the waterfront have been arrested and taken into jail, and they've been charged with stupid stuff, but they come right back. They don't back down. They don't back down. They just know what's going on with our sisters and brothers in the Hispanic community. And it's wrong what's happening to them. And we have to take a stand. We have to make that decision that we're not going to just be quiet, that we're not just going to be part of, you know, part of the problem. I have a really good friend. She had been a student of my late wife out at Pacific University. And we were talking about what was going on because she had been part of the No Kings things. And she said that she felt numb, that she felt overwhelmed, which I believe a lot of people do. But she still have the same feelings against what Trump's doing and what his cabal of friends are doing. But I talk to people all the time that want to do something, that want to, they were part of the 40,000 people at the No Kings marches. And that's good. But you have to go beyond that. These people that have taken over this government, they don't care if we march in the streets. There could be 1,000 of us that march in the streets. 1 million. I mean, 1 million people march in the streets. What they don't want is direct action. They don't want direct action against them. That's what they don't want. You know, they come out and say, well, you can change this by your vote. But time it's from now to the time that it's time to vote again, they've done a lot of damage. What time is it? Oh, man, I only got 10 minutes. The White Rose, if you look it up, they're very great people, but they did get murdered by the Nazis. They were guillotined. And that's a sad thing. But real quick, Trump is trying to get us into a war in Venezuela. He is sending warships down in that area. They've been attacking boats and killing people on these boats without really knowing what they're doing. Maybe they are doing drugs, but they should be stopped, arrested, and put on trial, not killed. Because some of them are not drug traffickers. They're fishermen. But he's looking for an excuse to attack the mainland of Venezuela. That's how this country goes to war. Look at what they did to get into the war in Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which never really happened the way they said it did. How'd they get into Panama, the Panama invasion? How they went to Grenada? It's all lies. To get the people behind them, so they can get what they want out of that country. What do they want from Venezuela? What do they want to do to the people of Venezuela? They don't like Maduro. That's what they don't like. And also in this country, they don't like Mamdani, who was elected as the government, the new mayor of New York. They don't like him at all. They call him a communist. And they're going to... Just remember what they do. They try to get somebody something to happen to give them a reason to go in militarily. They lied about Iraq. Completely lied about Iraq. They wanted that oil. Oh, does Venezuela have a lot of oil? I wonder, huh? I wonder if Venezuela has a lot of oil. I would imagine they do. But we have to not back down. We have to stand up. I wish half of those 40,000 people on the No King's Day march would go down to the ICE prison building down in Southeast Portland. Just cover that whole area with people. Let them know what we think about what they're doing down there. Talk to the National Guard folks. Talk to the people in the military. I've read things by these people, and they are not happy about what's going on. I don't have time. Maybe next show I'll talk about the Vietnam Vet Against the Wars newspaper, because there's some really good articles in there. I'm trying to find this one by my friend Mike that he wrote, because it is just amazing. As you can hear, I'm going through the newspaper here. I had it marked off, but I can't find it right now. Oh, man. Guys, I'm so sorry that I can't find it written by Mike. So I'm throwing these papers down. If you're a Vietnam vet or married to a Vietnam vet or if you're a child of a Vietnam vet, you should get this newspaper. You can get it by going to VVAW and get it off their webpage. Oh, here's one. It's Right to Refuse, Rebuilding the GI Resistant Movement. There's some, one of the poems, Killing Babies, Vietnam 1968. I'm going to read this Killing Babies. If you might want, if this is really touchy for you, you might not want to hear it. But patrolling in the Killing Babies, Vietnam, 1968. Patrolling in Central Highlands, U.S. troops zipping abandoned grass houses, flames burning two centuries of culture. I noticed gunship fire in the front to clear the way into the village. First hut I came to, the bullets hit home. Silent infant on her mother's hammock, his brains on the hut floor. I think of my nephew Wayne at home, the same age, no more war. Zippo's using Zippo lighters to burn down, start the fire on these places. It says, I wrote the poem because I dream of that child all these years since that horrible day. It's that horrible day. Boy, I wish I could find that thing Mike wrote. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm really sorry. Decomposed Granite, that's another poem. CASREP is Navy for Casualty Reports, another one. We only have a few minutes, and I hope that what I've talked about will get people to go to stand up against what's going on in this country, to help our Hispanic brothers, sisters, and brothers who are being taken out of this country, and they should never be taken out of this country. We'll be back on December 19th at 9 a.m., and there it is. I'll see you again. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM. The time is 9:59 a.m.
The hate you share is flame. If you don't call out the bigots, you wear the name. If you don't face the lie, you're part of the plot. If you don't fight the fraud, you're as crooked as the lie. If you don't call out Trump, you're cheering the cause. If you don't call out Vance, you're lending him applause. If you don't call out Johnson, you're part of the scheme. If you don't call out the GOP, you're feeding the machine. If you don't speak, you're with them.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.